Totness Talks.
Hello, Sylvie-Anne.
Hi, Tony.
How did you come to Totness?
Oh, that's a short story. I'm Belgian, as you can hear.
Yeah.
And I lived in London for 10 years and was very much set on London as being my new home after growing up in Belgium. But I met Mikey, who was from Gloucestershire, so from the southwest, and who made it quite clear early in our relationship that London was not on the cards long term. And that made me think, and his inclination was to move to Gloucestershire, where he had his golden childhood. And while I have nothing against Gloucestershire, I also felt that it was gonna define our family life as a replica of Mikey's life when he was little, and I didn't want that. I wanted to be a bit more creative and go a bit wilder with our ambitions. And around the time we were looking for a new place to settle, Mikey and I were very involved in the dancing community in London, and then we were coming every few months to Totness to do some dancing retreat. And so it crossed my mind, like, well, if you want to go southwest, why don't we go to Totness? And then Mikey said, well, Totness is a place where we go dancing and on holiday, but it's not like really the place where we can have a life. I was like, well, why not? Let's try it out. If we want a more like relaxed and outdoorsy life, I think it could be a very good place. And it's not too far from Gloucestershire. So yeah, that's how we ended up here. Initially on a trial basis, but then it became clear very quickly that it was the right move for our family.
Great.
So dance brought us here. But it's true to say that I knew that there was a lot of storytelling going on, and Transition Town was active in Totness, so there was a lot of green lights for me, in the sense that, yeah, I felt quite aligned with the ethos of the town, even though I didn't know very much about it. But any time I would come here, I had this feeling of like, something is clicking, it's aligned to our values and ways of seeing the world.
Wonderful. You kind of grew up in Belgium.
I did, yeah.
Whereabouts in Belgium?
So, in Spa, which is a little town in the southeast of Belgium. So we're very close to Germany, and actually not far from Holland either. The biggest city near Spa is Liège. So it's in Wallonia, hence I speak French. And it's actually quite similar to Totness in the way that it's about 10,000 inhabitants. It attracts a lot of tourists in any season because of its location in a very green area. And it also is famous for the thermal water. And it was, I hear, the first spa that was ever built in the Middle Age, or even in the Roman time. So, voila.
Voila. So, life in Spa and life in England, are there differences?
Of course there are, but I have also similarities. So which one would you like me to focus on?
I think the differences. I'm interested.
Okay.
I'm interested in how Totness has become more diverse. So I'm interested in kind of
the differences.
What you bring in your experience from where you come from.
Okay, that's very good. Question. So the difference is, well, language to start with. I think we speak French, but it's not the French, it's the Belgian French. And actually we also have a dialect, Walloon, which is a version of French, but I can tell you that even some Belgian can't understand it. And so Spa is very, how to explain that? It's a little jewel in the middle of an area called Les Ardennes. So it's got a lot of folklore around it. I remember growing up and going to kind of Miner Day, where we would celebrate all the work of the miners who were not with us anymore because it stopped being a mining place, but it was just acknowledging where we're coming from. So we would like have like a day, you know, like there'd be like a day where we would just pretend to be miners for a day and then relive the tradition of the mining community around Spa. We also have a lot of carnival, so around like what you call the Fat Tuesday or Pancake Tuesday here.
Oh yeah, Pancake Tuesday.
In French it's
Shrove Tuesday.
Yeah, Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
Which is the beginning of a long period of folklore for us, which is about where we have big procession, everyone is wearing masks, or like if you're usually part of a group and all that group would wear the same outfit, and then people who are not part of the procession would come and watch, but there would be a lot of like animation in the street, like traffic would be closed for a few hours. And so that is something that I miss here. It's like, well, we have our own celebration, but carnival is this thing where the world stops for a bit and everyone celebrates the local folklore. I mean, I'm gonna bring it up, but the food is quite different. I changed my diet quite extensively when I moved to London, initially because there's so much on offer, like the whole world was accessible food-wise, where Belgian dishes are quite traditional and filling and meaty, a lot of carbs, a lot of cheese, a lot of meat. And it's a tradition of hunting as well, which I'm not very comfortable with, but also means that on offer much more commonly you can have things like a deer, or you know, a wild boar. Those were like more common in my childhood, and also as a way to maintain sustainability within the forest. So not only like it was a controversial tradition, I think, hunting. However, my dad being a forest manager has always said, like, you know, there is an element like that is good to kill, because that will maintain a healthier forest. So there's this kind of understanding of the cycle of life, which is here too. But I mean, growing up, that was just kind of, I was made aware of, yes, surpopulation of deers is a thing, and if we have too many, then the best way to look after that is to hunt respectfully and then honor the meat that we then receive.
You grew up near a forest, presumably, if your dad...
I was surrounded by forests, yes.
So, are there any forest stories that your parents told you? Because, I mean, I always got Peter and the Wolf when I...
Yeah, well, there are, actually. There are a lot of fairy stories, like the fairy of the well, like, at the end of winter, waking up and granting wishes, so... Yes, there are.
Can you tell me anything about the fairy in the well waking up and granting wishes?
Yes, exactly. So that's it's a local story, I think, or it was told by I don't think it was my parent that one. It was a friend of my parent, but he was like saying that at the end of the winter, some wells can wake up like they've been buried under a lot of leaves, and while those leaves are drying up and there is less frost, then they can suddenly emerge. And when they first emerge, the fairies wakes up at the same time, and if you find her, she usually grants you a wish. And the good thing about that fairy, she gives you time to think about it, so it's not like you have to do a wish here and there. You usually have 24 hours to think about it. And the story goes that the man who first encountered that fairy had 24 hours to think about his wish, and he was very, what am I going to do? And then he was thinking on his way home, well, I'm a wood chopper, I'm not really doing a great living at the moment, and wouldn't that be great if the fairy was granting me enough gold to live for the end, like to see my life through without having to worry about cutting woods. And he came home and shared that brilliant idea with his wife, and his wife was like, what? Can't believe the first thing that you're thinking about is to have in I've gone, well, the thing I wish the deepest is to have a child, and that's not happening. And now he like scratching his head and thinking, oh yeah, how did I miss that? But at the same time, what good is it to bring a child if there is no, not the infrastructure and the richness to welcome that child? So the man, being even more confused than he was before, went to see his mum for advice. And the mum lived in the attic, if I remember well. And she was like spending her days like on a rocking chair, meditating around various things. But she had lost sight. And so when her son shared the fact that he had a wish granted, she was clearly upset that he didn't think about his old mother losing sight of things. So the man spent the night scratching his head on how to reconcile the wishes of the women of his life with his own ambitions. And the next day, when he went to see the fairy again, he had a very clear wish, which I'm going to say in French first. Je voudrais que... ma mère puisse voir ses petits-enfants manger dans de la vaisselle d'or. Which means, I would like my mum to be able to see her grandchildren eating in a bowl made of gold.
You must have thought, what would I wish for from the fairy?
Yeah, well, this story...
Because I already am.
This story told me about... how you create synergies, right? The wish is about pleasing three people at the same time, but in a, I think it's how you weave things together.
Yeah.
And it works. It's one wish, but it's meeting many different ambitions in that one wish. So I think it's helped me articulate clearly what I want, and also understanding that life is all about synergy and relationship and ecosystems.
Belgium, Totnes, and how you found it.
Well, it's one thing that I miss is speaking French more regularly. I do speak French with my children, and story time is a big one that we do in French. But I haven't really got that language-based community. And I know there are a few French speakers in Totnes, and we do speak French, but it's more on a sporadic way because we are in a context that is English-speaking. And so us, if we want to be understood by that context, like the kind of default is to go back to English. And I think sometimes I'm worried I will lose vocabulary, like some of my roots as a result of that.
Well, that's because you've reminded me of a question I wanted to ask you, because I know that thinking in different languages leads to different thoughts in a way. And and just because of the syntax and way language is. So is there a big difference in thinking in Belgium? I mean, are there differences between...
The syntax and language? Yes, definitely. I think it's easier to be concise in English, while French-speaking sentences can be quite lengthy, and in one sentence could be three lines. While I think here I've had to learn that one sentence is quite short, one line is actually probably max. So it's quite a different way of relate. It's in some way English has helped me to simplify, but sometimes that kind of feel like if I want to be more poetic or lyrical because of the length and the kind of the length of the sentences, you've got a bit more flexibility to be lyrical and adding poetry. Well, in English, it's like poetry is its own kind of discipline. While I think in French, it's easier to be poetic just in the way you speak because of the length of languages and the structure. Yeah. They complement each other, but yeah. I think if I want to be concise and technical, English is probably going to be easier.
Yeah.
If I want to be lyrical and provide a bit more context, French will be easier.
That's lovely. Sylvie-Anne, thank you very much. Welcome. I know you've got to go back to work.
Well, I've got time for another question, if you
okay.
like.
Okay. Well, can you tell me a little bit about your job?
About my job?
Yeah.
Because
I've been asking everybody that I've interviewed, and it's quite an array of jobs that people
do
in Totnes.
I agree. And my job is actually, as you know, it's remote. So yeah. My headquarters is in London. I work for NatWest Bank.
Yeah.
And I it's quite important that I mention it. For me, having still that kind of connection with London is helping me nurture this part that wanted to see herself through a life in London, so I'd still have that connection. So I work for NatWest Bank, but in a franchise, which is developing what is called banking as a service. And okay, that's probably, I'm losing you there, but to keep it grounded, I work in the anti-fin crime department. As we know, like, digital money has brought all sorts of fraud risks. It's much easier now to exploit people into making payments that they think that are genuine, but as a result of AI as well as technology in general, it's much easier to commit fraud, and therefore we need to have the technology to combat fraud. And I work on the department that is designing those technologies and helping a bank keeping their fraud losses within appetite.
Thank you, Sylvia. That makes perfect sense, and it's a really important job. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. And actually, storytelling is helpful in that space because you need to talk to a lot of different people and convene like messages. And I find that being able to, piece everything into a good narrative is a very important skill in my job. Voilà.
Voilà.
That was Tony G speaking with Sylvie-Anne as part of the Respect Festival. This has been a Totnes Pulse production. Thank you for listening.